Shut up! The footy's on Triple M! Sunday is not the day to relax.
Hang on, say it again. Sorry, I was just buying some crypto.
Going to prepare is preparing to fail.
Because Triple M footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
And if you think you're better than everyone else, then you do your thing.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
This is the Sunday Wrap for Ream Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
What a massive Sunday afternoon we've got from the MCG. Carlton up against Collingwood, expecting 90,000 people at the MCG today. You can't get a ticket to this, and it is going to be an absolute ripper. We've got a massive show for you. Essendon defender, the Red Dog, Mason Redmond, was instrumental in them winning last night. We got Big Call Montagna's big three instead of Jay-Z's big three. I'll explain that in a minute. Collingwood assistant coach Scotty Selwood, Errol Goulden having a nice patch of form at the moment. So we're going to bring out a new segment. It's called Daisy's Unsung Heroes. Just reminded me that I've got to get an unsung hero. Hitch Caravan's back. The stock exchange, everything. As I work my way around the box, what a big game it is. Dale Thomas played for both of these clubs, the only man to do so 100 times.
Yes, that is correct, Brownie, and it's great to be here. And as we expect, going to be an absolutely massive crowd, but a huge occasion too for the Blues. Season on the line, weather hopefully coming for them. They're going to have to roll the sleeves up and be tough this afternoon if there's any chance.
And a little bit subdued, Stephen Johnson, I've noticed this morning. There was a lot of scones out there to eat, and he didn't partake in any of the scones. He's been very quiet, the Geelong champion.
It's good to be here, Nath. Had a bit of a hiatus last week. Perked up in a hiatus. I said it right the first time.
And then butchered it the
next time. Now it's good to be back amongst you boys. Hopefully I can get a word in. I did send the invoice in last week, Nath.
For your 24 words that you spoke.
Did you go on record today as saying this is the freshest you've felt in about 12 years on a Sunday?
Yes, I was very quiet last night. I drove down late, stayed at Billy's house in South Yarra there, and woke up nice and early, went for a walk around the town, had bacon and eggs, and then just rolled into the studio. So I'm fresh.
And a man who left Stewie Lowe out of his top 10 St Kilda players, Lee Montagna.
Hello, Brownie. G'day, boys. No good feel about today. It is the Dale Thomas Cup, Collingwood Carlton, big rivalry. Stevie J's fresh. You're up and about as always, Brownie. And Daisy's always excited, a little bit nasally, Daisy. But I've got a good feeling about today. It's going to be a good one.
It's a good feeling because we've got 2 hours 30 before we start a game of football. So 2 hours 30 is a long time. Norm, we've got a newsman with us, and his name's Jay Clark. But I'm just wondering where he is.
Well, I've got it on pretty good authority that he got a call from you and Giles, our boss, and got told him to have at least a week off and to think about where he's at, just on the back of this yesterday on Dead Set.
Saturday, Rob, we live from midday with JB, Bernie Vince, Billy Brownless, Damien Barrett at Marvel Stadium, and I'll be joined by Cam Zuha, live in the box ahead of the Melbourne versus Sydney game. There's a lot to unpack in this one. My voice has absolutely packed it in. Thanks for putting up with me. It is Jay, Joey, Kath, we missed Joey, Jay, Lemo, and Kath. We missed, oh my God.
And a special shout out to the Zoo Hard.
So nowhere in that incoherent rambling did he make any sense.
No.
And may God have mercy on his soul.
And then Ewan just said, mate, you're out for a week.
But that's it. So go and have a long, hard think about it. So I think he's gone down. He's taken it so harshly. He's gone down the Great Ocean Road and he's currently running away from the Triple M area.
Well, that's the disappointment because we've made a cultural shift here, Daisy.
We have.
You've led the charge. I mean, we've got the Sunday Supper, which has been a big
good
hit.
Today.
We've brought professionalism to the team this year. You boys come with preparation, not like maybe duck at times, and Nathan's the self-appointed captain. We've got our own leadership group, but
he's
Jay Clark,
pump speeches.
He's been doing everything, but Jay Clark's just decided to say he's taking a day off and he's gone for a run. That's where we've fallen apart as a group. He's gone for a run, Stevie. That's why he's not here today. A fun run. I thought maybe he was sick, maybe he needed to go on.
I honestly thought that he'd been wrist-sold after that.
He's gone for a run today. That's why he's not here.
He rang me and he said, I'm not going to be with you this week because Rabsy rang me during the week to try and get a news guy. And we're going to get Tom Brown, but he is on Channel 7 today.
2.5 hours with Tom would have been a lot.
We asked Damien Barrett and he's a little bit busy today. He's got his mum's birthday.
Nathan's unavailable.
Michael Roberts was unavailable.
On holidays also.
We even tried Troy Luff and Luffy was busy as well. So we couldn't quite get anywhere. But what Jay-Z told me was he works that hard. 7 days a week he works. He doesn't get any time off because he works for the Herald Sun 5 days a week.
Does do a lot.
Then he has to write on a Friday night, prepare an article for a Saturday, has to watch every game. Then he does all this on a Sunday. And he goes, I don't get any time off. Can you hear my voice? My voice is cracking. I've just taken a week off with my wife. We're going to go down to the coast.
but he's doing a fun run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said family time, but he's doing a fun run.
And he's
which
pushing
takes
through,
him 3 hours.
And he's sick. He's crook. You could hear it in his voice, but he's going to push through just to do a fun run. So we need
but we all work 6-7 days a week.
Exactly.
We're in the football industry, so you only have a 6-month time of the year where you're actually working.
Absolutely. Oh, well, he does. I think he writes for the Herald Sun 12 months.
Yeah, I doubt that.
So the thing is, though, but this is where it's disappointing, Brandy, because no one else in the box would have some time off, would they? No one else
absolutely
in the middle
not
of footy season. We're not the Friday Huddle Boys. We're not going to head over to India or travel overseas.
We are
committed here. We're all going to stay. So there's no one that's going on holiday, are there?
There's nobody that's going on holiday, because if there's only four of us, we need 2 hours 20 of preview. Is there anybody who wants to put their hand up now and say they might be going somewhere?
Stevie?
No, I'm committed to the cause.
Well, I'm not. You can all go jump. Where are you off? I'm going to Royal Ascot with my good friends at PointsBet. I've got to take a week off. I'll only miss 1 week, but I'm just going to wander over and watch the mighty horses do battle over there. And one, Artorias was the one I was trying to think of then, but I'm very much looking forward to that. So 1 week off. I know it's not good enough.
You're from Druin, mate.
I am.
You've got no need to be at Royal Ascot.
That's never a truer phrase spoken, but I've been given
so
the opportunity.
So how did you approach this with management? Because you didn't bring it through me, the self-appointed captain. You didn't go through Joey. You didn't go through Stevie. So you've obviously spoken to either Rabsy or the great Ewan Giles.
This is how it's playing out at the minute. So it's sort of ball is rolling at the minute with this. So I'm just sort of drip feeding it. So things like this are great because now Ewan's becoming aware of it. And then it sort of softens the blow when I ring him and say, hey, mate.
So you haven't actually asked?
I haven't told him yet, no.
Well, I know why Rabsy, the great producer, is going to let you have it off because
he's pissed off too. Yeah, hang on a minute. This isn't good.
Hang on one second before we get on to Rabsy. So the Bogan from Druin,
correct,
is going over to Royal Ascot
in the royal enclosure.
Have you got your top hat
and tails?
Organized?
And tails.
Top hat and tails.
And tails. Yes. So I'll be looking like a right flog, but I'm excited about it. And there's a special teacher of mine who once wrote on my going away shirt when you finish year 12, you were the worst school captain we ever have. You'll never make anything of your footballing career.
Oh,
so
wow.
I am not the most supportive
school
message.
Captain.
I was school captain. Well, and the first part of that was correct. I was a shocking school captain. But so hopefully I do have a nice time over there. And that teacher, whoever she may be, Miss Depler, you watch on and say your boys at the
Royal.
Yeah. How long do you go over there for?
8 days. So I'll leave on a Wednesday after I do the midweek rub.
Yep.
And then I'll be back by the next Saturday so I can partake in
it. And I'll ask you to points bet fly you over up the front, or do you go in the back?
Can you go right?
You're working through that, aren't you?
It depends. You're not paying for it, I wouldn't have thought.
No, I just wasn't sure if you could go right. I wasn't sure what was back there. So I'll be going left towards the front near the captain.
And Rabsy, our producer, is going away as well for 3 weeks. That's why he's ticked off on, I think, Daisy, because he's heading off to Europe, isn't he? All loved up, and he's going away as well. So we're just starting
the footy season. Who goes away in the footy season?
I've only got 25 weeks
of work. You've got 6 weeks
of 25 weeks.
Oh, no, seriously. It's ridiculous. These blokes need a good hard look at themselves.
What about you, Stephen?
I've got a little bit of mail, Brownie.
You got some mail?
I've got a little bit of mail. So there's someone down the bottom left here throwing a couple of stones.
Oh, hang on a
minute. But I have it on good authority that Joey has requested through Ewan Giles to have a week off because he's getting a little bit tired. He's got the first crack, the last crack, Daisy's crack, my crack. And he just needs a little spell. Now, can you confirm or deny this, Joey?
That's confidential. Where'd you get that
mail? What
do
you mean you need it?
Don't worry about me,
mate. You need time off, do you? You're working your finger to the bone.
Working hard. I just need a mental freshen up. But that was meant to be confidential. Where are you getting your sources from?
I don't get my sources.
So there's obviously a leak amongst the Triple M.
Well, you may as well take a week off too, Brownie.
So what do you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Let's maybe take you through. Take us through your week that you need a day off. Because you didn't call last Sunday. Darce had to come in last
Sunday. I had to go and do the first crack.
Last crack. We heard that.
Well, that's confidential stuff. Maybe if everyone else is having a week off, I need a week.
Break down your week.
No, Monday is my day off. Monday I switch
so
off.
So you do get a day off.
Spend home with the kids on the Monday.
Right, so what do you
do? That's not really a day off.
That'd be nice, a day off.
Well, they're your family. You have to do that. You have to look after them. You've got responsibilities.
Tuesday work all day.
That's just life.
Tuesday work all day.
Tuesday work all day where?
I do. I've got the little office at Freo with a little bit of recruiting stuff and then doing my prep, vision and stats and start to
you can't shuffle those papers any more times. You're melting down here.
I am. And then busy, Brandy.
And then what do you do Wednesday?
Hour at Wednesday.
Wednesday I've got midweek rub. I've got AFL 360. You've got to be on. Thursday night footy on Thursdays.
Thursday night footy?
Well,
we haven't had that for 6 weeks.
No, I've had a little. I've had a little.
So you've got Monday off at the moment.
Thursday off
as well.
What do you do Friday?
Friday prep and for the weekend.
When
or a long lunch, Wednesday, one or the other.
Wednesday you do 45 minutes of radio for the midweek rub.
It's 30, it. Brownie. It's 30.
30. Yeah. 30, oh, 45 right. With ads. We've got people digging holes, Brownie, for a living.
Correct.
From 7 in the morning till 7 at night.
Correct.
Joey's saying my workday includes 30 minutes of radio and it's blend in a
and
air-conditioned and heated studio.
Mental health day. I just need to freshen up. So I'm having a week. I'm going to have a week off. I'm going to have a week off at some stage. I just got to speak to the boss, find out.
Well, that'll be easy to organise. You only got to take 3 days off.
Ah, dear, oh dear.
Brownie, anything from you?
I haven't got any time off. I'm fearless. Here right till the grand final day.
You've got 7 kids you have to
putting in invoices, why. Invoice after invoice.
Fearless like leader
Stevie.
You are.
You did last week, Stevie. You were on with us last week. We only did an hour, but we counted that you only spoke 46 times, 46 words in that hour.
They
that
probably
is
shouldn't have
given very, very economical.
They probably shouldn't have given me the day off because then the Yarrawonga bus trip to Myrtleford took off. We had a good win down there, and then we got a little bit carried away. And then I drove up to Albury, sat there. I put my hand up though. I was via a the Zoom link. I kept putting my hand up, wanting to put my two bobs in, and you just wouldn't throw to me. So I was a little bit flat after that. But Rabs gave me a call and said, "Don't worry, Steve, you'll be fresh next week, which you are, and you'll be better for it." So yes, I apologise for the lack of. Speaking last week, but today will be much better. I promise.
There was a mini protest, I think, from Stevie J last week, wasn't it?
We'll get this put up on our socials. So there's the Zoom link. So Jay-Z's in depth talking about something. You've got your back turned to the microphone, looking at a screen of some other sort.
That was me. I was disgruntled at that point. I'd had my hand up for 5 minutes to the point where my shoulder was getting sore. I just said,
"You can interject with your voice."
I'll put my hand down. I'll turn around. I'll just let them know that I've checked out.
You've sooked it up.
You sooked up.
Nobody knew.
You cracked the sads.
Yes, I did.
You can't filthy up on this show. This is the cultural change we're after.
Oh, well, I'm happy to accept the feedback. But
there's been plenty of people at Triple M over the years that have dirtied up over small things. And
let's not fracture, eh? Yeah. Let's stick fat.
Let's all go on a holiday together.
Let's warm up again. Ready?
Let's take the
ready?
Week off ready? Once.
Let's warm up.
Yep.
Two, three.
Okay, let's talk some positive before we go to the break. I want to say football is in a great spot at the moment.
In a great what?
In a great spot at the moment.
It is.
Friday night, Melbourne up against Port Adelaide. Ripping game of football. The rain came. Skills were still really good. Even last night's game, Essendon Richmond, it had theatre everywhere. Fremantle, the way they played, the way they've bounced back, and now they've belted the Cats. Well, not belted the Cats, but... even the interchange fiasco yesterday. Football.
Drama.
It was just must watch. And now we've got 90,000 people, Collingwood Carlton at the MCG. There's a lot of people sooking about football a couple of years ago saying how bad it was to watch. It's unwatchable. I want footy back in the 90s and the early 2000s. But footy right now is as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, spot on, Brandon. And I think it's wide open, the premiership race. I still think the spot race for the top eight is wide open. There are teams from outside the eight making a bit of a charge. I agree with you. I think it's been a great season. Twists and turns everywhere. And I've just got a sneaking suspicion we might have another one this afternoon here at the MCG.
I think it makes a difference too. We were watching on TV, or the viewers were watching on TV, the ones that weren't organised or in part of the industry, watching on TV without crowds and the fake noise and everything. But it's been great that people have come out of that again and realised how good it is to go to a game of footy and just cheer as loud and barricade as hard as they possibly can for their team and seeing good footy.
Is it fair to say that the rule change, and we've had a lot of rule changes over the years that haven't worked, but the rule change of Stephen Hawking bringing in to stand. So you have to stand and you can't move, and that allows players to run past. That allows the player with the ball to move off the line. There was a lot of people against that rule change when it came in, but it has revolutionised the game and changed it to a point where it is as quick as it's ever been.
Yeah, but there are also other ones. The 6-6-6 rule, don't underestimate that impact that's had on the game. I also think the insufficient attempt, we're all getting used to that now, that if you kick the ball on an angle towards the boundary line, it's going to come back into play, so less throw-ins. I think there's been a number of changes that have improved the standard of the game, and we're getting great quality footy.
The stand rule is one of them, though, and when it's not over-adjudicated for the man moving on the mark with the 50s, and that we don't want that, but the ability to then get overlap run, draw a man, he can't move, you get past the player and you kick it in long and strong. That's been an absolute brilliant masterpiece from the AFL, plus also their idea of that any given Sunday mentality that on any given day your team can rock up and win, which we've seen quite a few upsets this year.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
You've got Joey, Stevie J, you've got Daisy Thomas and myself, Nathan Brown. But last night, it was a massive game. Richmond up against the Bombers. The Bombers looked dead and buried a couple of times, but they came back, and this is how we saw it.
Wins the footy, and now Davey has to kick to a vacant 50, and a foot race is on at the City End. Grimes is back there first. He copped a shocking bounce. Essendon get a great bounce. Langford over the top. Menzies into an open goal. 6 points the difference.
Wiedemann wants it long. Draper wants it in the pocket. Kick goes in that direction. Here's Stringer. He's on the boundary line. Screws it to the top of the square. Darren has taken the mark top of the goal square to put the Bombers in front by a point. 12 seconds. 11. You wouldn't read about it.
The Bombers take care of business. The streak is over. After 13 straight losses, the Bombers beat the Tigers by a point in Dreamtime at the G.
Oh, now I know why Joe was so keen on having that
just
package played
as well, yes.
Because he was on there and he was calling it and did a fine job, I must admit.
He gets some big moments, Joey.
Does get some big moments. And I tell you what, when big moments come, and we saw this man run onto the field in the dying moments last night, Mason Redmond on the outer back flank. Thanks for joining us on the Sunday Rub. Take us through the last couple of moments from your mind.
Yeah, well, I've run out. Thanks for having me for a start, lads. But yeah, I've obviously come off the bench, so I knew what the messaging was, which was good. Yeah, ran to the fat side, and that's part of the plan we run towards the back end of tight games, is to get out in the corridor and hopefully we can take a few risks and get the ball forward, which we're able to do. And it was obviously awesome for Sammy Durham to kick the winning goal. I remember him in his debut, and I'd be lying if I said it didn't cross my mind that he missed one from there in his debut, but which I think he touched on the coverage after. I watched the game back this morning and saw that he mentioned that after the game on the coverage. And I was laughing pretty well because it did cross my mind, but obviously he's grown into a super player, and his last quarter, it's hard to tell when you're playing alongside him, but his last quarter was unbelievable and he capped it off with the game-winning goal.
Yes, Red Dog, Richmond love a chaotic style of game. It looked like last night there was a clear direction from your coaching group and playing group to try and take as many uncontested marks as possible. I think you took over 140, which must have been a plan going into the game. To try and get that ball and build it up and get it into your front half and then try and set your defense from there, because they weren't able to score when they went inside 50, but you certainly were able to find those composed possessions, and then when the game was on the line in the end, you took it on and that's where you won it. So was that a clear game focus?
Yeah, well, I think lots of the messaging coming out of last week, especially in the second half, was we were trying to hit the hard kicks when there was very much easier kicks on, just the quick option, as gets alluded to a lot. Just hit the first option you see is usually the best one. So we had a lot of focus on that, and obviously Richmond have been the best probably in the last 10 years of that quick turnover game. They get the hands going forward. They're number one meters gain from handballs. So we knew if they turned it over, they were going to be slingshotting it back the other way. So it was definitely a directive to keep the ball off them. And make him defend for as long as possible. And I thought for large periods of the game, we're able to do that well. And obviously, they did get a few turnovers. I handed a couple of easy ones to them myself. But, I felt as a whole, we were able to hold them off. And as a sort of talk about playing our way until the final, might take till the final play of the game to get the job done. And last night, that was the case. So I was very, very happy towards the back end there.
Hey, Mason, thanks for backing up, joining us again. You're on last night. We're asking about your role defensively, and it looked as if there was that the sort of cat and mouse game, because you had the role sort of on the Prestia Shea Bolton where they split, you know, they sort of come up into the midfield and spit forward, but you were prepared to hold, keep your ground and win plenty of ball. What was the matchup like? Was there a bit of that in there, the planning with Bolton and Prestia, and you just play your role? How did that play out from your perspective?
At different times this year, we've come up or sat right back on the forward that plays up around the stoppage. Obviously, Dion's the one that plays that mainly for them, and then Shy and Dusty sort of run their own show when they go in there. But, the game plan was to sit in that spot there behind the stoppage and sort of control a bit of play from back there. And I feel like sort of able to do that at the start. And yeah, I thought the other backs around supporting me, communicating to me when guys were coming up was super. And yeah, I thought, when our positioning there and setups in the back line went a long way to helping us defend what was 60 inside 50s. It didn't necessarily feel like that throughout the night because they were fairly pressured inside 50s. But we're able to defend it really well and slingshot the ball back the other way.
Red Dog, where does the Red Dog nickname come from? Is that something you've self-appointed? And what about your celebration? We've seen you kick a few snags and you absolutely love it. Then you throw the little horns up. What's going on there?
I think the Red Dog nickname is just from my last name, I would say.
Probably makes a bit of sense the more I think about it.
When I was a young fella, I was a bit of an idiot at training, trying to bloody scrap with everyone. So that might play a bit into it. And then the celebration's just a bit of a muck around with a mate from home. He did it. He actually did it when he kicked 11 goals back there in the local footy back there a few years ago. And he said, if you kick a goal, sort of whip it out. And I hadn't really kicked many goals at that stage. And I was lucky enough to get on the end of one. And that's probably what stuffed me up last night. I had a shot there in the first quarter. I was thinking about the celebration before I kicked it. So.
And Red Dog,
nothing too much to it.
I've been amazed by how many times I've seen the opposition switch off and allow you to run around from around 55 metres
out. You hate that.
I absolutely hate it. Just because the players have got to do their
scouting,
and the opposition coaches have got to do their scouting. Do you feel like they're starting to dry up those opportunities because everyone's understanding that you are the player that they're going to give the ball to from outside 50?
Yeah, I've definitely found against the top teams they're onto it a lot more. Whether that's a scouting thing or whether it's the forwards that I play on just being a bit more switched on. But I try to just make them fall asleep, just trot around like I'm not really interested and then just take off. But they seem to be a bit more switched on to it nowadays that I've kicked a few of them.
Red Dog, I think you're a dying breed in the game because there are a lot of players who are very, very nice to each other. There's so much niceties out in the field these days, but you're not one of them. I think you play angry from my point of view. You don't give an inch. Even when the Bombers were going really poorly, you were the one guy flying the flag last year. Is that just the way you've always played your football from the juniors?
Yeah, I think I've always tried to play on edge. Sometimes I do step over the mark. Which is something I've had to work on, and I've probably tamed myself down a bit. I used to think that I'd have to actually play angry to play my best football, but I just think I need to play on the edge. Dad always told me, you won't get injured if you go harder than the oppo, so that's probably something that I live by. And I had a moment last night which I'd probably like back because he probably didn't deserve the roughing up that I gave him, but he kicked a good goal, and I was probably more grumpy at myself. Probably more grumpy at myself for that goal that Judson kicked in the goal square, but I had a laugh with him after the game and it was no hard feelings. So that's probably the one thing too. People might think that I'm a bit rough off the field, but as soon as the siren goes after the game, there's no grudges there. I probably do have a tendency to go a bit hard sometimes, but that's just how I play the game.
No, I never apologise, mate. We love it. The Bomber supporters love it. You're one of the Triple M favourites, and Essendon are flying at the moment. Congratulations on last night.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having me.
Mason Redmond, the Red Dog there.
Well done. Hey, never great win. Yeah, well, he's a beauty. Great chat. And they've lost four on the trot up until last night, the Bombers. And now you look at their games before the bye, boys. Just want to get your thoughts, because they are now just sitting just outside the eight. They've got West Coast, North Melbourne and Carlton to come before the bye. If they can win those three games where they would maybe start favourites, depending on Carlton's form over the next couple of weeks, they could go into the bye 8-5. Are they still a genuine chance to play finals, or do you think that's out of the question?
I think they can set themselves up to have a crack at maybe finishing in that 7th, 8th position, but I don't think they're a team that are going to contend with the best teams in the competition. We've seen them play a heavyweight in Brisbane last week. They weren't up to it. They're coming back to their own weight division last night. That was a game that was important for both teams, whether they were going to be able to maybe contend for those final few finals positions. But well done to them. They're definitely improving and well coached, but I don't see them having an impact later on in the year.
Underrated how many injuries they had last night. Setterfield, Shield, Parrish, Laverde, Cal. They're missing a heap, Peter Wright, etc. So they've got a lot to come back into the
season. They are, but they do have the Red Dog, who was brilliant to join us on Triple M Football.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks free.
This is the Triple M Sunday Rub, MCG, Carlton up against Collingwood. 90,000 fans expected here. We've just spoken to Mason Redmond. We've got Collingwood assistant coach Scotty Selwood coming up. Errol Goulden from the Sydney Swans will join us. But Jay-Z is away and Joey's put his hand up for this segment.
Big Cole Montagna's Big Three.
Jay-Z normally does Jay-Z's Big Three. We'll go with the Big Cole Montagna. Jay-Z has gone for a run. That's why he can't join us today. I'm just posing the question, boys. Come with me. Yesterday over at over at Optus Stadium, Fremantle Dockers beat the Cats by 29 points. Three on the trot for Freo. They've kicked 100 points in all three games. Haven't done that since 2014. But the big call, Montagna, is the Cats are gone in 2023. Ooh. They cannot win the flag.
Is that what you think?
Call Montagna.
That is a massive call.
Disgust. It is.
Too old, too slow, you reckon, Joe?
Well, what do you think, Stevie?
People were writing them off at about round three, and then they were premiership favourites by about round eight.
Yep.
They were.
And then they lose a couple.
Richmond and Fremantle.
Big call, Montagna's writing them off.
So what's the... This is a discussion. This is a discussion. What's your take? Because the five wins were Adelaide, Essendon, Sydney, West Coast, Hawthorn.
I'm worried about their midfield. Now, I'm worried about their midfield. They don't bat as deep as what they did. Dangerfield and Guthrie were out at the moment.
Got a lot of outs, though, Brownie.
But do they have many other midfielders out at the moment? Like, is there a list that we could go, when they get them back, and Duncan has been playing, when they get them back, they're going to be at their bona fide best. But no player had over 20 disposals last night. The same the week before, there was, I think the most was 24, so they're not getting their hands on the footy. Either end, I think they're absolutely perfectly poised, but can their midfield at the moment compete it with the Collingwood? Can they compete it with the Brisbane Lions?
Yeah, the competition's so easy. I think no team, without having, you know, their top 25, 26 players available, can compete against the best teams that would be fully fit. So, you know, you look at who's a team with a couple. The Sydney Swans, for instance.
Yep.
Like they've got a list there that could potentially win a premiership, but given they're playing, they're really testing their depth.
Richmond,
they can't play anywhere near their best football. So I think Geelong's just in that pattern as well. They're missing a few key players. If they can get them fully fit, they'll be competitive again.
If that injury list continues to grow, though, they are in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Because as we've seen, it does mean a lot when you do have your best team out on the ground. It doesn't matter. Adelaide yesterday rested two players, Thilthorpe and Walker, completely non-competitive. So it changes the whole dynamic, injuries in any form, let alone if you're a good side.
Did they, just on another point, did they lose that game at selection, Adelaide?
Well, they did. But if you're resting a player, like Walker, if he would have been fit and able to play, I assume would have.
Plays against West Coast in Perth in 2 weeks. Would it have been a better time to do it?
He was obviously at risk of doing something, so they would have managed it. Obviously, would have been better for the Adelaide Crows if he did play, but there's a reason behind it.
I think it was a plan.
Yeah.
4 weeks out from the bye would have been a plan. Have the week off, you've got four games, then another bye. It would have been a plan for the Adelaide Crows to do that, so they've stuck to the plan. But back to Geelong. So you're confident, Stevie, that once they get their full personnel back, that they can still make a charge at winning the flag?
Yeah, for sure. But I'm also of the opinion that if they don't get them back quickly, with the run that they've got over the next 4 or 5 weeks, it's probably one of the trickier runs out of any team in the competition.
So go through their outs and who you expect to come back in. So it's Guthrie.
Guthrie and Dangerfield are the main two in the midfield.
Duncan was out yesterday, but he's been playing the last few weeks.
And the only other one, so you talk about their defence. Their defence has been their big issue. They are getting scored against pretty easily this year. Sam De Koning's out, but everyone's saying Radigalea, he's been his replacement. And everyone's saying how good a year Radigalea is having. Otherwise, they've got their premiership defenders, O'Connor, Buse, Colajasny, you know, those sort of guys are all playing. So
De Koning's a better defender than Radigalea.
He is.
And they could both play in the same side, and then Radigalea plays a different role.
Yep.
And also, Jezza hasn't had the same impact the last couple of weeks.
He's been inaccurate, Jeremy Cameron. He started to miss his goals that he was nailing in the first sort of 6 or 7 rounds.
I think they can turn it around as well. Are you, the line of questioning you're posing back to us, are you in the camp that maybe they're going to struggle?
No, I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm just playing Jay-Z's role. No, I'm a bit with Stevie J. I think you've got to give them the opportunity if they get their full personnel with 4 to 6 weeks to go in the season. They're a team that don't need long to find their best because they've played so much footy together that it could click pretty quickly leading up to the finals. But
so you posed a question before. So you don't genuinely believe what you were saying.
No, Nathan.
You were just posing a question.
Yes, Nathan. That's why I was playing the devil's advocate. Just posing a question to discuss.
Feels like he's changing his tune.
Yeah.
Don't put words in my mouth. You've done that a lot. It gets me in trouble.
Jay's mentoring you now?
No, just trying to help.
Are you going down a media sort of
just
journalistic?
Why put words in your mouth?
Yes, you've done that a lot. Anyway, we'll discuss that later.
A lot.
Next one. Next big call, Montagna. I'm just trying to fill in for Jay-Z. You're not coming with me. All right, next one. Port Adelaide can win the flag. They've won seven on the trot now. Are you going to go with that's a big call, Joey?
I was going to say that's a big call, Joey.
That's the whole point. Seven on the trot now. Their wins have included Brisbane Lions, St Kilda, the Western Bulldogs, and then Melbourne on Friday night. They've got the hottest player in the competition, Zach Butters, who's been best on ground in four of his last six games.
Would have liked to have called that a few years ago.
Can they win the premiership, Port Adelaide?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
They're setting themselves up to be a top four contender. We know that if you do finish in the top four, your chances of then going on and winning become a lot higher. They've got some outs as well. Obviously, Marshall's a very handy player when he's up and firing. Dersma's not out there at the minute. Those younger blokes who are now getting into the right maturity, Butters, Rosie, are starting to really fire week in, week out, play consistent footy. I think they can certainly give it a shake if they do finish top four.
Feels like Big Call Montagna's big three is morphed into sort of my stock exchange area. So he just pumps out a statement and expects us to say yes or no, or I'm buying, holding, selling.
Correct.
So what did you want me to talk about? Jay-Z, let's do the tribunal. What does everyone think of Lachlan Hunter's
decision? No, let's go back to that.
I think you'll get a week.
Right.
Kenny Hinkley did go on and hitched his caravan on Zach Butters a few years ago.
Yes,
he said that he was the closest thing he'd seen since Gary Ablett Jr. at the same age. So Kenny was on the money there, wasn't he? Because that game he played the other night was just brilliant. He'd done everything, contested ball, got onto the loose balls, was clean, kicked goals, set them up, done it in pressure moments. That's a sign of a kid that's going to stand up on the big stage if they were to make it to a top four and a big final.
They can win the final.
Can they win the premiership?
Oh, I've still got memories of what Collingwood did to them here in round two. So that's been their biggest test away from home at the MCG. So that's still fresh in my memory.
Zach Butters, I remember the game we did in COVID when I jumped right on top of him. I think he might have been in his first year. There was a genuine 50-50 ball up at the Gold Coast Stadium.
Zeebel.
Coming the other way was Zeebel. And Zeebel,
big bull,
big boy. And Zachy Butters went and met him 50-50, didn't take his eyes off the footy, won the ball on the ground. Zeebel was folded up like a deck chair. And then Butters was sitting there just grinning at him.
I'm just worried about him. He might be a victim of his own courage and toughness.
At some point, and I think he has been already to times, and that injury he had last year or the year before, he was losing damage through nerves in his foot.
Yeah.
So to come back and play the footy is absolutely outstanding. Love the kid, love everything he does and love the way he goes.
They can play in a prelim, and if you're in a prelim, as we all know, anything can happen prelim. So Port Adelaide could win the flag. My third big call, Leroy.
Montagna.
Richmond can't play finals, Brownie.
Well, that's a big call.
They've won three games, haven't they?
Discuss.
North Melbourne can't either.
Richmond can't play finals. That was a bad loss for them last night. I know they're missing personnel as well, but
I doubt West Coast can either, Brownie.
But they needed to win that game. They are now sitting on 14 points on the ladder. So they've won, 3.5 games. They're 2.5 games. Two games out of the eight. But they've got a lot of work to do from here. They won't play finals.
No, they won't play finals this year. I think they can write this season off. They can still get a lot out of it. I don't write them off. Like some teams, when they're spoken about, when they've been up and they've had some premiership glory, people can write them off and say they're cooked. This is not a club that's cooked. This is a team that has missed on a couple of close games, and they kill you. Those chances last night are the difference between maybe sneaking into the finals and maybe not. But they've missed Tom Lynch. Mm-hmm. They'll probably start to have to look past Jack Riewoldt, which is he's been a champion of the game. This is probably going to be his last season. But, you know, those trades they brought in, Joey, Tim Taranto again last night.
Brilliant.
Probably their best player.
32 disposals, kicked a goal.
Hopper, they'll be a very, you know, they'll bounce back from this, but particularly this year, given these close losses, it'll be the difference and they will not make the final.
Tom Lynch becomes the massive out. And we're talking about Geelong having a lot of stars out. Richmond, there's a 60-goal forward. So you're coming into every game trying to find an extra three. obviously now when that happens, Jack Riewoldt's getting the best defender rather than playing second fiddle down there and chiming in. You've got young Samson Ryan, who's very, very raw. We love what he does, but he's very raw in sense of his body size, body shape, and his ability to play consistent footy. So Lynch being out is a big one, and I don't think the Tigers will make finals either.
Worst team in the comp converting a score when they go inside 50. Worse than North Melbourne, West Coast, or Hawthorn Tigers. Can they play? No, they can't. They won't play finals.
I'm looking at the ladder, and you've got to get past Carlton, Fremantle, Essendon are playing well, and then you've got Adelaide in eighth spot at the moment. The Cats, seventh spot. So I just don't see who drops below Richmond in that run towards the finals. So unfortunately.
Big call, Montagna?
I liked it. I think it was good. It was sort of a big statement, Montagna, rather than a big call, Montagna. Okay.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Carlton up against Collingwood for the MCG. It's going to be a massive game, 90,000 people. It's been a big show so far. Mason Redmond was brilliant. We're going to speak to Errol Goulden a little bit later. Big call, Montagna's big three were sensational. It was more statements than anything. But Collingwood are flying at the moment, and their assistant coach, Scotty Selwood, who works alongside the Pies midfield, is going to join us. Welcome to the Sunday Rub, Scotty. Talk us through the plans today to dismantle Carlton. We've got some big stars in their midfield group.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Hopefully the Sunday feast was a little bit better than the orange cakes from a couple of weeks ago.
Good start, you've got off to a good start.
Good start, Scoot.
Oh, mate, you've got... I have heard a little bit of a rumour that the orange cakes... It's not a 10th birthday party. I mean, you could probably go a bit better with what you're doing. You've got Adrian Millman at Macedon there that you could probably go past and pick something up for the boys.
My 10-year-old daughter did bake them, so...
That's the point. You were meant to...
Anyway, big day, yeah, big game today, obviously, with what we've got with the Blues. It's going to be a massive contest, and that's probably what we're focusing on, especially my area. And they're incredible at the contested possession, but we're going to try and make sure that we fight enough in there, but make sure we own the outside on them and bounce back the other way on them.
Craig McRae seems to be absolutely brilliant at sort of diffusing opposition when they're coming in with a real purpose, backs to the wall sort of stuff. We've seen it, him highlighting players playing 40 games instead of 250 milestones, things like that. Has there been a theme throughout the week to keep the boys calm?
Yeah, we've probably gone the other way, to be honest with you. We hardly do this, but it is us against them this week. So we've gone back and rewatched and relived a little bit of the end of last year, round 23, and then spoken about what their membership base is like. We've sort of gone to all the little details and how far this history has gone back, and just spoken what it means to our Collingwood fans, and actually spoke about how we can do it for them and make sure we do ourselves proud, knowing that their backs are against the wall, but we get back to our little things and what's made us great.
That's a very good question, Daisy, and well answered, Scoot. I'm just wondering, are you two okay?
Ooh.
Because is there a little bit of angst between you and Daisy from years gone by?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You'd have to ask Daisy that one. No, I must admit, you got to know when you got to lower your colours, and I lowered my colours a lot against Daisy, and I probably did against you too, Dogger. So I'm not too sure why I'm standing out on the field here and trying to coach some of these players when I was sort of touched up quite a bit against you and Daisy.
Well, Scotty, some stats get overdrawn, and we go a lot by stats, but I just want to throw some of the ones that Daisy threw around when you tagged him one day. He told me that he had 35 and kicked three on you. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'll stand by that. We used to have a theory when we were at West Coast. We had Daniel Kerr, Luke Shuey. Who else we have in there? Chris Maston, and I was the only defensive player. So I used to start on Pendles, and Pendles would have 10 in the first quarter. Go to Swanee would have 10, and then they'd say go to Daisy's, kick three, and had 15 in halfway through the second. And yeah, it's sort of a hard role to do when you're the only person running defensively and trying to match up on all three of those. But I must admit, I'm not too sure if I actually got Daisy at all. I reckon he probably got me most times, if not all times.
Yeah, actually, speaking about running, Scooter, I hear that you're training for a marathon up in the Gold Coast. And there's word around town. I just actually was down in South Yarra this morning, and I ran into someone who said that he'd seen you running around the tan, taking a leaf out of a few Melbourne players' shirts, books, so with your shirt off.
Shirt off.
No, that's a lie, and that's the last thing you'll ever see of me, mate. I'm very aware I'm a boy from Bendigo that's got very pasty white skin, and I wouldn't offend anyone running past by taking my shirts off. If anything, I go the long sleeve, try and cover up as much as I can.
Hey, Scotty, tell us about this Collingwood midfield that you've got absolutely humming. I mean, there's some qualities about the group. They can all seriously run, but they can all play in multiple positions. What do you love most about working with this midfield group? What are they like?
Quite mature. Probably that's the thing that comes to mind. I mean, obviously, Pendles is 2 years older than me. Sidey and I are the same age, and there's probably a maturity around the group now getting Tommy Mitchell in from Hawthorn that it's really, we're quite a systematic team in terms of what we do and they know what they have to bring. So whenever I'm having a meeting, you effectively put a bit of vision in front of them and you sort of let the conversation flow. I'm virtually redundant in my role in terms of what I'm doing because they're so much more talented and they've got such great quality in what they're doing that effectively you just let them run it.
We saw a couple of weeks ago the Swans really go after Nick Daicos. To me, that seems a bit obvious today. What have you done in the planning in and around the options as to what the Blues are going to throw at you in that respect?
Yeah, sometimes we address it, and we did against the Swans, and I'm not too sure if Carlton will go in that mentality. We presume Kerno will go to him, and we're going to try and manipulate that if that's an option for us. But our idea is that if there's one of them, there's two of us, and if there's two of them, there's three of us, no matter what player it is or no matter what time on the ground. So we know it's going to be a tough day and it's going to be hard. It's going to look ugly at times, but we hope that we make Carlton play all the minutes again this week. We speak about it a lot, but they have to play every single minute. Every team has to play every single minute to beat us, and that's hopefully what the Blues are going to be faced with.
Now, Scotty, you would know that the Queen Elizabeth Oval is the biggest oval in the middle of Bendigo, and I hear there's been a bit of a push to rename that the Joel Selwood Oval. Is there any truth in that? Pushed by your brother, of course.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm happy for it to be called the Selwood Oval if we just want to go with the general term. And we all piggybacked off the success of Joel, to be honest with you. And that's effectively why I got drafted, if I'm really honest. But I'm more than happy to be changed to Selwood Oval if they want.
And Scotty, how's Harry Mackay sort of handled the criticism that's been come his way during the week? Criticism.
Oh, I'm the Collingwood coach. Not the Collingwood coach, but,
if you go into the other room to find out for us, that'd be great.
I just seen Bossy walk past you and I thought, you could just ask.
Sorry,
I'm hiding. Daisy, I'm hiding.
Well, we apologise. He's only new. He's only new, mate. He's doing the best he can.
Sorry about that, Scotty.
See you on the socials.
Oh, appreciate coming on with you boys. It's been good.
Hey, Scotty, all the best today against the Blues. Thanks for joining us on the Sunday Rub. And we apologise again, mate.
Thanks, boys.
That's one of the great questions of all time.
That's the professionalism you get here at Triple M. Asking the Collingwood assistant coach how Harry Mackay's handled the criticism this week.
They had coffee during the week, didn't you hear that?
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks free.
Time for Hitch a Caravan.
On Triple M Sunday Rub.
Do it for a caravan.
There's lots of room for you on the bandwagon.
We're hitching the caravan.
We sure are. Titanium caravans are built to tackle Australia's toughest conditions. Visit titaniumcaravans.com.au. Jay-Z segment. He is not here. But
I'm going
I'll
first.
Kick us off.
I'm going first.
No, I like a young plot.
I'm going to hitch my caravan. I did the game yesterday, North Melbourne, Sydney Swans. And George Wardlaw, the youngster for North Melbourne, a lot of hype about him. But to watch him on debut yesterday and what he did, he is going to be a bona fide star. And he had the 9 tackles on debut, 6 clearances. And what I loved, he went head-to-head. He was tough. He was matching it with Luke Parker. The young North Melbourne side dominated clearance. And they, for the first time this year, played Harry Sheezel in his natural role as a half forward who also played a lot in the centre bounce. And when you look at Wardlaw and Sheezel as a combination, young Will Phillips looks like he's going to be a good player, that little in and under with those clever little handballs. You combine Simpkin and LDU. Oh, I think North Melbourne are building something. They've got a lot of talent. I know it hasn't clicked for them just yet. They've still got plenty going on at the footy club. But young George Wardlaw looks like he's going to be an absolute superstar. So I'm going to hitch my caravan to him and this young North Melbourne midfield that when it all clicks, they will take off pretty quickly.
So you're hitching your caravan to pick 4?
Yes.
Okay.
Getting in early. Yeah.
Yep.
It's not one.
Pick four is going to be a good player.
Yeah. Stevie?
I'm hitching my caravan on Mason Cox.
Ooh.
Unless there's an injury throughout the game, being subbed out of today's game during the third quarter.
I like it.
It's a positive.
All right,
one.
So he was a hero last week. Unbelievable game. But these are not his conditions. And I have rarely seen him play 2 good games in a row. I think Darcy Cameron will be named the sub today, and they'll be looking to inject him into the game if Mason's not at his best.
Ooh.
At some point, and I think it'll be in the third quarter.
Oh, I like that. That is a big hitch, McCaravan. And We're going to ride that all day, that one. I think that's going to be a ripper.
Yeah, we said they're not Mason Cox conditions. What are his conditions? It looks pretty good out there.
Well, not 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
Start with. But I think there's a bit of low cloud hanging over the MCG. It looks a bit dark. Is there rain forecast?
There is a bit.
It's a bit of wind. Mm.
There'll be no more rain today.
Anyway, I'm going to hitch my caravan to records broken. So I think after what we just heard there with Stevie J, no doubt the social guys will have that clipped up. That'll be breaking the first record on all Triple M media throughout the week. But the second record, the largest home and away crowd ever, will be today.
Ooh, what?
Ever.
Heard it during the week. I think.
Well, you couldn't get a ticket.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a ticket.
So 95 plus is what I'm calling.
Wow.
On a Sunday afternoon.
On a Sunday afternoon, both teams massive. Massive for the Blues. Pies show up regardless. They got 45,000 last week to a GWS game. Obviously, they'll have another 30-odd this week. The Blues bring a few. 95,000 plus.
And who are you supporting today, Daisy?
I can't lose, Stephen.
Brandy, who are you supporting?
I'm supporting both sides thoroughly.
Brownie, I'm just sensing these two didn't put a lot of thought into their caravan today.
I had a good one last week and we didn't go with it.
Could you not use it?
I couldn't remember.
Okay, so I'm going to hitch my caravan. Now, I think he could be All-Australian, but that's not what I'm hitching my caravan to. But Scotty Pendlebury has had a wonderful season. He hasn't missed a beat. I'm going to hitch my caravan for Scotty Pendlebury playing another two more seasons and breaking the all-time VFL AFL record and going ahead of Boomer Harvey, because this Collingwood side isn't going down the ladder anytime soon. So it's going to be easy for him to keep playing the role he is at the moment in a stacked midfield where they're going to be playing finals every year for the next 3 or 4 years. So Scotty Pendlebury, two more seasons, breaks the record.
Do you watch the Sunday Footy Show?
I didn't watch it, but someone went with it, but I didn't know who it was.
It was Kane. Kane went with it. 66 yeah. more games for him to go.
We're a team.
So,
he would not mind me using that.
Okay.
Oh, this segment's gone well. Right, so I've gone with a pick four. You've stolen Kane Corns's. Daisy just made it up 1 second ago, and Stevie J's just put Mason Cox, who played the best game of his career, and you've thrown him under the bus.
I like the Mason Cox one. It's going to be good for today.
Well, we can keep an eye on that one today.
You can keep an eye on the crowd too.
Yes, we can keep an eye on that one. Yeah. We can revisit yours, Brownie, a bit later on.
Something's come to my attention, Joe.
Oh, here we go.
I think this is off the top worthy.
What?
And it was sent to me by our good friend Leroy back in the studio that it was a great call last night. And you made the comment that, Joey, you seem to always call the big moments.
Demand.
Now, there was a big moment last night and Dyson Heppel took the mark, right?
Late in the game.
Yes,
big mark.
And we're going to listen just quickly to the other three radio stations, four radio stations, who all their callers seemed to change over callers when Dyson Heppel took the mark.
Ooh.
And then we'll play Joe.
He's getting dirty. That.
So let's just have a listen.
Careful, Nathan.
Listen to the first one.
Careful.
This is
Nathan.
And then Bolter bangs it onto his boot and kicks it back out to the wing.
Underneath it, though, Dyson Heppel takes the mark.
So there's the change on the first one. So let's go with the second one.
Exits the danger zone with a long kick to the outer side, but it's marked by Heppel. It's got to come back.
They'll get another chance to win it, Essendon.
There's the change on the second one. So here's the third one.
Good strong mark by Heppel, and the Bombers are going to go in again.
So Heppel has got a shorter option. Redmond, JJ's man, right on cue.
There's the third change. And the last one is even the host broadcaster, Channel 7. Here's how they called it.
Getting back short. Clearing kick. Heppel, brilliantly done from the former skipper.
Heppel measures the kick, finds
Redmond. Dast changes over to Hamish McLaughlin.
Ooh.
So everybody is in unison that we are changing callers. AW, SEN, ABC, listen to all that. We are a very good calling team. Channel 7. but here is how our man, Lee Montagna, kept calling.
Went for Tipper. The kick was at his feet. Oh, Nick Martin hasn't had a good last quarter. And now there's a critical one-on-one. Heppel outpoints Mansell and takes the mark 80 metres out. Goes short to Redmond. 65 from home. Wiedemann wants it long. Draper wants it in the pocket. Kick goes in that direction. Here's Stringer. He's on the boundary line. Screws it to the top of the screen. Done!
Poor old Jack Everin sitting there going, any danger, you could change callers so I can call the winner.
There's no HOE. There's no I in team, but there is in Lee.
And you're on team. And good players
totally redeemed yourself.
Yes, and good players sense the moment, Stevie, and I just sensed the moment was coming, so I need to take the moment. That's a pretty good work by whoever's dug deep to find
Leroy.
Leroy.
Pretty funny that four networks all changed their caller at the same time.
Yeah.
But you had a moment where your voice went down. And then it felt like there was a spot there to change to him. You just thought, no, I'm going to keep going.
What's the rule in and around that? Is there a rule?
It's just like teamwork. I mean, if you've got to put a block on and you're not going to get the football, the reward will come later.
If you've had the passage of play that's gone inside 50, then gone out of 50, that's generally a time?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. The producer
have you got an apology?
I apologise to Jack Everett. I've got no issue. Watch how short my calls will be today, Brandy. You'll be getting all the big moments today.
I can't wait to see how Mason Cox plays today.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
About an hour away from game time at the MCG, Collingwood up against Carlton. This is the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Okay, we were asked during the week to bring some more content because Jay was on holidays, and then we found out that he wasn't on holidays at all with some time off. He's actually going on a fun run to be with his family. So it's a bit strange. There's lies everywhere, and we'll get to the bottom of it next week when Jay-Z comes back. But so I sent out the task. Everybody needed to come with some content. And Daisy, your idea was to talk about the unsung heroes in AFL footy.
Yeah, I thought it was a good idea just to give some love and spread the love around. Everything we do, or the majority of it in this industry, is pumping up the really, really good players, the superstars that we know they probably don't need any more attention or any more love. They're getting the big dollars off the field. They're getting the big dollars on the field. Endorsements here, pump-ups there, articles, features, whatever you want, they get it. So I thought this was a nice opportunity to give some love to some of the lesser likes that play a massive and important role.
All right. Lead us off.
I'm going to start up at the Gold Coast Suns with a bloke that I do know and saw him play some footy, Nick Holman. He is genuine heart and soul sort of stuff. And if you watch any of their games, it doesn't matter if they're 10 goals up, 10 goals behind. He's somebody that tries his genuine backside off every minute of the game. He's not blessed with a lot. He doesn't have great looks. He doesn't have great skill. He's got a nice mullet, and that's about it. And I think Ash Chua actually called him a battler, and that was coming from Chew Man, who actually, I'm not sure his footballing prowess, but I assume it's not great. So Nick Holman is somebody that you need in a football club. He's loved off the field by the boys. He leads the way when they're out there on the field. He leads the charge on footy trips. He's somebody who deserves a nice little pump up. So Hollywood Holman, I bloody love you.
Nice. Left footer, yeah?
Left footer. Yeah, well, we're still, jury might be out.
Stevie?
I'm doubling down because I know I spoke about this player a couple of weeks ago, and he continues to go from strength to strength. So my player is a player that I sat down at a restaurant in Lygon Street recently. I sat next to his family, and when he left, I wanted to say to him that he was one of my favourite players, and that player is Nick Martin. So last night, again, 26 disposals, 11 marks, went at 80% efficiency. He's a superstar of the future. Don't give me that look, Joey. This is why we're putting these guys on the table, because they don't get the recognition, and don't
like
give me that
it,
little look
like
out
it.
The side of the eye as if
even
he's
though
no
you
good.
Did bugger all preparation and just went with something you went last week. I like it. If he does deserve a pump up, but
went with something you got.
I'm doubling down. All right,
doubling down. Right,
you've got a 3-hour drive. To
I want to make
this
my point clear.
You said you were fresh. Anyway,
yeah, I like the segment, Daisy. This is a good one. I'm giving some love to and these flowers to an unsung hero. Fremantle Dockers have turned their season around. The last 3 weeks, and there's a player that not many would know. His name's Bailey Banfield.
Oh yeah.
And you talk about heart and soul players, guys that just get the job done. A bit like Silvani for me for the Blues. I think they are important players that never get the recognition for what they do. He had 1 goal, 3 and 20 disposals yesterday. He also played a bit of a role on Tom Stewart, kept him quiet, had 8 score involvements. The week before, 1 goal, 1, 15 disposals, 8 score involvements. 2 goals and 14 disposals 3 weeks ago. Keeps getting the job done as that mid-size pressure forward, provides a contest, helps nullify the defensive of some of the opposition's better defenders, and he deserves some love. He's having a great season, Bailey Banfield.
Yeah, he's a gun. There's no doubt about that.
BB gun. Okay. Haley Banfield.
I'm going to go with a player that's playing here today. Now, Collingwood have got some superstars. You think of Jordan Ngawi,
yep.
Dacos, Penderbury, Mason Cox, we talk about a fair bit. Darcy Moore is a superstar. But a player that plays his role and is, I think, the most courageous player in the AFL is Nathan Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we don't speak about him a lot because the Collingwood get all these accolades and they've got some big-name players who I've just mentioned. But his courage, the way he reads the football, he doesn't panic. He marks the ball in the air. He can do it on the ground. He's a good user of the football, and he is like the glue in that back half of the ground because we know Darcy Moore plays with a fair ski rope. Nathan Murphy doesn't do that. Nathan Murphy's more, I'm on him, then I'm off him. I'll get the job done. I'll allow other players to make me, I'll allow other players to look good.
I like it. And while we've got a pad for this segment, Daisy, I want to give us one that you played with. A teammate that you all played with that you go, he just didn't get the flowers that he deserved because he was in a team full of superstars. But a guy that you all play with that was just heart and soul, did the team things week in, week out, got the recognition they deserved internally, but maybe externally didn't get the credit they deserved. Who wants to go first?
The possum is one for me. Alan Tuvey, obviously the man with the biggest eyes in football. His ability to just get the job done. And Mick Malthouse often spoke about your tram tracks. And his tram tracks were very narrow. He got the ball. If there was someone to handball to, he did that. If not, he'd kick it long to Travis Cloke. We all knew it. He was very, very good at closing down as a defender on a small forward. Often get some big roles. And he was someone who allowed the likes of Heath Shaw, Horatio Lumumba to play really loose. Ben Johnson, who they never defended anyone. But these are the blokes that hold up when the big moments come. They're the one who wins their critical one-on-one, buys a bit of time for these people to get back, put a big smother on the goal line, smother of the millennium, those sort of things. This doesn't happen if these blokes aren't doing their job.
I think Max Rook gets enough recognition, so I won't say him. I'll say a player, Travis Varko. Now, I know he had an unbelievable resume at the end of his career. He played over 200 games and played in a couple of premierships. But he was a player for me that probably went under the radar because of other players in that team. He was the guy that could stand up in big moments in grand finals. I think he kicked three in the 2011 grand final. But it was also his ability to get after the opposition. So we didn't have to run two ways, Joey. We could just run forward. We'd have Varko, Shannon Burns, Stokesy all putting on the forward pressure down there. And he was an unbelievable player.
You?
Sean Dempster was one for us, Shinner Dempster. He was a very good athlete. He could tag in the midfield, did that for a while early in his career. Then he played as a lockdown defender.
Hard to get a kick on.
Yeah, very hard. He was a very good player. And then towards the end of his career, he actually became an elite interceptor. And he was able to be a very good player. Never spoke. He was very quiet, very unassuming. But internally, he was rated very highly at St Kilda.
Chris Newman, for me, at the Richmond Footy Club, played on the half back line. And he was made captain because he was such a good player and an honest toiler, and he was a very, very safe pair of hands and a beautiful kick. He didn't get enough recognition for how good of a kick he was off halfback Chris Newman.
An honest toiler. Is that all he was?
He's better than probably the wrong
and
word.
And didn't get the recognition. Yeah, he was club captain for about 8 years.
Do you understand the philosophy of the second?
An honest toiler. Chris Newman, I thought he was a pretty handy player.
I love Matthew Croft.
Tell us why.
He was an honest toiler as well.
I love the point about Banfield, though, Joey, because he often starts as the sub, which would be the worst spot on the ground. But he does it so well. He just fronts up week in, week out, doesn't crack the sads. Like, I would assume if we were put the sub vest on more than once, we wouldn't be too happy with it. So he gets it done. We love that. Well done to all the unsung heroes. Think about something else for next week.
And
as well.
Here is story time with Stevie J.
Well, gather round, boys and girls. It's Stevie J's story time.
Ooh, I've got a stinger. Well, that's nice. Oh, well, I'll tell you a story about an old teammate of mine. Now, a couple of you blokes might have heard this one before, but it surrounds a player, the big pill, Brad Ottens.
Ooh.
So back in the day when he was at Richmond, they had a big win here at the MCG. They then went into the rooms, and Spud Frawley was the coach at the time. And Spud got him in and said, look, boys, we've got a six-day break. Let's make sure we look after ourselves. We've got a really big game again next week, Essendon at the MCG. So look after yourselves. I don't want to receive a phone call at midnight tonight saying that someone has stuffed up. Mm. Anyway, so a few of the boys thought they'd just go across to St Kilda and have a couple of sneaky ones.
Mm-hmm.
Old Brattle's got a little bit too carried away. Anyway, so he's outside the Prince of Wales Hotel when he knocked on the back of a divvy van. Anyway, the police officers got out of the van and said, mate, if you do that again, we'll be taking you down the station. So he got back in the car. As they drive off, bloody Otto, he's had too many, bang, bang on the back of the divvy van. They said, right, put the cuffs on. We're taking you down to the station. So here's Brad Ottens. He's one of Richmond's best players at the time. Gun, ruckman, pushes forward, kicks goals every single week. So they get down the station, and the senior sergeant was down there. He said, "That's Brad Ottens." And they said, "Yep." He goes, "Well, I know Spud Frawley personally. How about I give him a call? I'll tell Spud to come and pick him up." And they're like, "Oh, okay, well, we're going to put him in here for 4 hours to let him sober up a little bit. But if you know Spud, we'll do the right thing by Richmond and Spud, and you can come down and pick him up." So the phone rings, Spud answers. "Spud, mate, local senior sergeant, we know each other. I'm just giving you a buzz. I've got one of your players down at the station." He's, Spud's gone, "Oh, no. You know, please be Kane Pettifer." not Matthew Richardson or Brad Ottens.
Pettifer.
Sergeant says, "No, it's Brad Ottens, mate." He goes, "Oh, my God, Otto. I said to the boys, if anyone gets in trouble, you won't be playing next week." Now, this is Brad Ottens, one of my best players. So anyway, Spud gets out of bed, midnight, goes down to the local police station down there in St Kilda. Anyway, the sergeant says, "I've got him down here in cell 6. We'll just go down and grab him." So Otto's down there, a little bit dishevelled, sort of half falling asleep. And he hears a few noises, a couple of click-clacks coming down the...
Clinks.
Down the hallway there. And he looks up, and the sergeant says to Spud,
"Long story.
There he is there, just over there." And at that time, Otto looks up, and he sees Spud. And he says, "Spudder! They got you too." "No, I'm here to pick you up, dickhead."
And do you know that Spud couldn't drive himself to the clink that night because he was pissed himself? He'd been at home drinking red wine. He had to catch a cab there to pick him up. So good story, Tom.
Yeah,
Steve.
Very good,
long,
Stephen.
long, but, no, good, but
that
good.
That was
very
good.
Not as long as one of Jay's questions.
Long.
So we've got plenty of spare time today, boys.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks free.
This is the Triple M Sunday Rub. You got Joey, you got Stevie J, Daisy Thomas. Stevie J said that Darcy Cameron will be the starting sub, but news to hand at the moment, he's in the starting 22. Darcy Cameron, Ginnivan is going to be the sub. Jack Ginnivan, the sub for today.
And he still thinks, though, that Mason Cox will get subbed out.
He's hoping that Mason Cox has a bad one.
And then Ginnivan will come into
he's
the game.
He's hoping he has a bad
he's
one
He's actually
today.
Rooting for it today for his Hitchie's caravan.
And we're barracking the other way now. We want Mason to have a good day.
Come on, the rain.
The other thing I don't understand is why these aren't Mason Cox's condition.
It's a perfect day out there.
It's sticky. We're sitting up in a rain around.
Yeah, it's soft underfoot. I'm with you, Stevie.
We're sitting up here in a warm, cozy box, eating some of the Sunday supper that Daisy brought in today. Wait till we open these windows up.
Yep. Cold, windy.
It's freezing out there.
You're getting bashed. He won't be allowed. He'll be on notice from last week.
Oh,
I'm
exactly
with you, Stephen.
Right.
The rain will come.
Can we back it up?
No such conditions at Marvel yesterday. The Sydney Swans had a nice win against North Melbourne. It went down to the wire. Here's how we called it.
So 1 minute left. We've got a ball up within 15 metres of Sydney's goal.
Where's Trash?
They trail by 3 points.
Hayden, you have to go free kick for an interchange breach.
Oh,
and it's a 50-metre penalty, okay?
No.
Let's go with me.
An interchange breach.
And 50.
That communication was from the boundary line. This will mean that Sydney will kick the goal and go in front. McLean to kick the goal. The players tell him to milk the clock and use the 30. He's so excited he can't wait. Sydney hit the front with 40 seconds remaining.
JZ.
Hey, JB, just looked at the interchange rotations. North Melbourne has made 76 of a possible 75. They've made too many rotations.
Wow.
We have a boundary low expiring now. Sydney win in controversial circumstances. An interchange infringement has cost North Melbourne victory in the last minute of the game.
High drama at Marvel yesterday, and a man who's been playing some wonderful football out in the wing for the Sydney Swans is Errol Gould, and he's been good enough to join us on the Sunday Rub. And Errol, just they gave the ball to Hayden McLean. What player at Sydney would have been wanting that ball more than anybody to get a free kick?
I would have thought Paps probably. He would have loved it. Probably would have given the celebration a fair bit as well. But, yeah, pretty weird game, pretty weird way to win a game of footy, wasn't it?
Where were you, Errol, when all that was going on, and what was your understanding of what was happening?
I was just kind of sitting off the back of the stoppage, kind of around the 50. I had no idea what the free kick was for. I thought that they'd, I don't know, paid something from up the field, someone, you know, pushed off the behind play or whatever, but yeah, had no idea. But yeah, good way to win in the end.
What about your role, Errol? You had a massive game in the preseason where you had 40-odd touches, kicked some goals. In the last 3 to 4 weeks, has your role changed to allow you to get more of the ball? Because you've had high 30s a couple of weeks.
Well, it hasn't really changed too much. I think I probably was early in the year splitting a bit of my time between wing, mid, and playing more forward as well. But probably the last month just been more so out on the wing full time and playing a little bit of inside. But yeah, probably not playing forward as much, which is... probably been the change, yeah, the past few weeks.
Absolutely sublime skills you are blessed with. We watch you in the pregame a little bit playing with the soccer ball. Is that something you grew up with? Because we often see players who have a lot of skill have come from sort of different backgrounds and very good with different shaped balls.
Yeah, my old man, he's from Turkey. He played professional soccer over there. So always, yeah, played a bit of soccer as well when I was younger too. But I've always, yeah, loved kicking the soccer ball around. And I genuinely believe that it helps with your kicking, I reckon, because if you can have a pretty good touch with a soccer ball, I reckon it translates a little bit to kicking. So, yeah, pre-game, always got the soccer ball out. Horse kind of gets pretty angry at me at training. I'm often kicking the soccer ball around and whatnot, but actually had a little bet that I wouldn't be able to keep away from the soccer ball for a week, and I somehow did it and got $100 off Dan Cox, which was good.
The start we hear you're a massive, and you're a massive Liverpool fan?
Yeah, massive Liverpool fan. Yeah, love watching.
Lucky with the 1-1 draw yesterday.
Yeah, it was a bit of an emotional game with Firmino scoring his last game at Anfield. But yeah, love my Liverpool.
Errol, you're a Sydney boy. Are you still living at home?
I am still with mum and dad.
Because the word is, you don't like putting your hand into your pocket very often. And I'm hearing on the grapevine that you still get your mum to pick you up from the nightclub so you don't have to pay for an Uber home.
It happened once in my first year, and the story's grown legs and apparently still happens now. But I'm the most generous bloke at the club with my money. I don't know where you've heard that from.
Dean Cox, Ben Matthews, yeah, John Longmire.
No, I don't know. It's a running gag, I think. It's a bit of a myth. But, yeah, early days I might have been a little bit tight with it, but certainly found out quickly that blokes at the footy club don't like that, so...
Errol, I do have to say you are one of my favourite players, but tell us a little bit more about yourself. You're a local Sydney boy. Are you an AFL like footy nuffy? Like, will you watch some games today? Do you watch other games of footy, or are you one of those boys that once you're away from the club, you watch your soccer and switch off and do other things?
Probably a bit of both. I'm actually just watching the soccer now as we speak. I was just watching it before, but all the Premier League goals from last night. But I still do like watching footy. Probably not as much now. As what I did before I got drafted, I probably don't watch as much footy, but I'm definitely a massive footy nuffy when I'm at the club. I love watching, watching games kind of from like behind the goals and stuff like that. And but when I come home, it's probably much more watching other sports.
You've got a good young crew up there. Where do you get to on a Saturday night? Is it the Dolphin, the Sheath, Mississippi? Where do you...
Coogee Pavilion.
Coogee Pav. Where do you run amok?
Yeah, all the above, I think.
Who does the best? Who does the best work at night, Errol? Who, Chatty Warner? Which one of the boys
right? The Lizard. The Lizard goes
pretty well. Oh,
the Lizard. Well. Yeah, the Lizard. Well,
just on the Lizard.
It's not a numbers game.
Just on the Lizard. Would it surprise you that he's had 142 kickouts over the last 18 months of football and he has played on 142 times out of that 10-yard goal square because he knows he gets a stat for it on champion data?
Yeah, absolutely he knows, and he's well aware of the stat that he's played on from every single one of them too, so... He may as well get the stats. If I was taking kickouts, I'd be doing the same thing. So you may as well keep doing it.
Where are his shoulders? Has anyone sort of located the Lizards? Do you have a joke about that? Because it's I've got a strange body set up too, but he's rolling something that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah, he's a pretty different unit to look at, but no one takes the mick out of him more than himself. So it's always a good laugh with him.
Can you give us an update on the McCartan boys?
I'm not too sure. I think with it's obviously day to day with head injuries, it's pretty hard to kind of tell. It's not like a hammy or something where it just you know when it heals and stuff like that. So they're still both in and around the club every day and seeking all the right advice. It's obviously a bit of a touchy subject. I don't really know too much about it. It's obviously pretty day to day, but they're seeing the specialists and I'm sure they're in great hands with the doc and hopefully they can be back out there playing for us pretty soon.
Yeah, fair enough. Good answer. We're chatting to young star for the Sydney Swans, Errol Gordon. So you got the win. It was a bit unique the way you got it. But what's the feel now last night in the rooms? Do you think just because of that win maybe that you can get on a roll and try and get back to some of the form you showed last year?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was just good to – honestly, just good to have a win. Sometimes you got to get them in any way you can. It was obviously a pretty weird way to win a game. But, yeah, obviously we've got Carlton next Friday now at the SCG for Marnbrook, which is a massive game, then going to the bye. So, obviously Friday becomes a really important game for us. But it was just good to get the win, get 4 points, and, yeah, hopefully can kickstart the second half of our season.
You don't hear the name Errol too often anymore in current society. Is there a story? I think it's a fantastic name. I love it when we call you. And is there a story behind the name?
It's actually the Turkish name. So, yeah, as I said before, my old man's from Turkey and I'm one of four. So my older brother and eldest sister got the normal names and me and my other sister, Senna, got the Turkish names. So I love my name, though. As you said, it's pretty unique and, but Turkish name, so that's where it comes from.
And you're loving your time with Big Bud. We've got game 350 coming up in a few weeks. Presume it's probably going to be his last season. I mean, it must be a thrill for you to be playing alongside and with one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's probably something I don't appreciate as much as I will later in my life to be able to have played footy with him. He's unbelievable. And obviously, he's copped a bit of flack this year, but I think he was back to his best yesterday and looked pretty dangerous. But, you know, every training session, every game you play with him, you pinch yourself. He's, obviously one of the best to ever do it. So extremely lucky to have played footy with him.
Errol, thanks very much for giving up some of your time on a Sunday afternoon to talk to us on the Sunday Rub.
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.
Good player, Errol Gordon.
He's a beautiful. He's a star.
Is he one of the best kicks in the AFL?
Yeah.
Yes.
On his left foot.
Yeah, he's a player you want to be leading
to. 50.
Him and Mitch Duncan are the two best in the competition, I would have thought.
At the ball going from outside 50 into inside 50 to retain the footy?
Yes. I'm not sure if the statistics would back
close.
That up.
Yeah, he's one of the best inside 50 kicks in the comp, Errol Gordon.
Yep. He's brilliant. And that soccer stuff, I remember playing with Alan Dydock, who was an absolute star with the round ball. You could see the things he did on the footy field. It's a very good point that if you do practice with different balls, you provide a different look and a different feel when you put the AFL footy in your hand.
Did you teach him much when you're up there? Because I heard a story that you might have been the one that was pumping him right up when he was the junior.
Well, yeah.
I've heard this.
No, I didn't. I won't say take any credit for what he's been able to do, but when he walked through the doors at Sydney as a 16-year-old in the academy, and him and Braden Campbell both come along at the same time, and they were training with us. This is 2 years before they were to be drafted. I was showing running patterns of this kid to the senior players that were playing league footy at the time. We know he's got elite endurance, but just the running patterns, and no surprise why he gets so much of the footy. He was an absolute gun. I actually moved then to the Giants the year before he was drafted, and I said to them, are you looking at, putting in a bid on Errol Goulden? Because he's going to be a superstar of the competition. And they didn't want to do it. They didn't want that.
Didn't want him.
No, they just didn't want to put in a bid. Maybe they thought what goes around comes around, that'll happen back to us. So I was surprised because I thought he was probably a top 10, top 15 pick in that draft. He got out to about pick 25-ish.
Good player.
Really hitched a caravan to him early. Mm.
Flying at the moment. Why haven't hitched a caravan to him?
Oh, he's already a superstar.
Right, okay. Well, you can still do that.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
It's time for the stock exchange.
Brownhead!
You only lose when you sell.
Stock exchange.
So it's good advice. You only lose when you sell, you just hold,
hold.
Okay, so here's how it works. I give something a statement of about football. Could be about anything. Could be about life. And
a bit like Joey's big call.
Yeah, you're going to buy, hold, or sell. Basically, this is what's already happened with Joey. Yeah, but okay, so talking about the draft and where the number one pick, the number two pick, the bottom five should be a draft lottery.
I don't mind the sound of that.
So where maybe the bottom team gets 50% of the prize pool, 25%, 15%, 7%, and 3%. So the fifth last team would get a 3% chance of getting the number one pick. Buy, hold, or sell?
I'll buy that. Progression is where we need to go in this game. I think you need to put at least a five-year sort of buffer on it so that teams know it's coming rather than just a snap decision. But I'll buy that. I like it.
I'm buying it, Nathan. Very good idea. The NBA do it.
I'm going to sell it in the form that you've suggested, because all that would do is encourage teams that maybe like a Sydney Swans that can't play finals this year, for them to almost tank to finish bottom five to go into the lottery. So I'm a bit like Daisy. I think it needs
mid-table tanking.
No, well, but yeah, mid-table tanking to get into the draft lottery. So MTT. I think it's got to be spread out over 3 years of total wins. So the team that's won the least games over a three-year period get the most
chance. So you want long-term tanking?
That, yes, because I don't think you could do long-term.
Nate's putting a loading on it. So even if you were to...
But it's better to be in the lottery and be the fifth, have the fifth chance of getting it, as opposed to not being in the lottery at all.
I didn't manufacture that, though. Okay, I think we've already answered this question through you. Is Geelong still the best?
No, selling then. They're not the best. They're still a contender, but they're not the best in it this year.
Selling right now.
Selling.
Sheasel should only ever play midfield again.
Selling that. He's very, very good off halfback. Can go forward as well. So I don't think he should just be exclusively a midfielder.
No. Forward of the ground then, midfield.
Selling that also. I like him off halfback. He's one of very few down there at the moment who can kick the ball to a teammate.
Yeah, I'm selling that, Nath. I think he should be playing a little bit more like Nick Dacos. So more time in the midfield, can push forward when they need a dangerous goal kicker, but also if they need to release a dangerous ball user in their back line, he can do that as well.
No, I'm buying that, Brownie. I'm with you. I think anyone can go to halfback and get 25 touches. Daisy and I know that too well. Yeah. He's too talented. He's got Stevie J written all over him. The ability to play in the forward half of the ground, pinch hit in the midfield and be a superstar in the front half. I never want to see him play in defence again.
AFL skill level was better in the year 2000.
Ooh, 2000.
Buy. It's a buy for me. I think the way the talent pool has been spread out with new teams in the competition and the players, like we talk to these modern day players, they want to get away from footy when they're out, when they're not at the club. I think back in the day, we used to just eat it up, didn't we? I know we played sort of early 2000s, but I'd never missed a game on TV. I'd still take a footy onto the couch with me at night time.
Absolutely. So you're buying it?
I'm buying.
I will buy it also. I think under the provisos, though, that there was a lot less expectation on team defence, a lot less running. The game allowed for easier options to be used and skills to be had. So whereas the modern game, everything's under such pressure and heat that if you are going to execute a skill, it's at a different level to what it was then. But on pure facts, I'll say yes.
I'm a hold because I believe in half the question. I think the kicking was better. I think kicking to a lead and kicking was better back in 2000. But certainly the game in the shoebox, what you're able to do in tight with their hands and their ability to get from inside to outside, that's all skill level. That is significantly improved on the old day. So it's a hold.
I agree with that as well.
Yeah, not enough players do have a football in their hand enough, though.
Not many players even watch footy at days. Stevie's big.
I can get over the not watching as long as you then watch some tape throughout the week. But just having the football in your hand, understanding what you can do with it, the feel of it, how it's going
to
bounce.
Which of the Dacos boys had in their hand a lot.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I'm alluding to. Like, if you're walking down the street, there's always kids chipping the footy up to themselves, whereas now they're more likely to be on the Xbox.
We always talk about goal of the year, mark of the year, best game of the year, best player. Are Warren Treadray's comments the worst comments of the year?
Oh, no, I'll hold that. I think.
Yeah, I reckon you've got another one in your sights there.
There have been some pretty big calls that have been way off the mark this year from a few people, so I'll hold that.
I'm holding on that too. That's another one of Kane Corns' comments that you're stealing, so I'm holding on that one, but it wasn't that call is going to backfire any. Well, it has backfired big time.
I'll buy it, Nath. I reckon it was far too early.
Untenable.
Especially coming from an ex-legend of the club. I mean, you've got to hold your opinion on that, just given you your ties with the footy club as well, an ex-captain, and the weight that his voice carries around Adelaide.
Where do you sit on that one, Nathan?
I think he was going for an easy entry back into AFL media, and he felt like there was an easy kill there. And
he was going to be the first.
I just think he read it wrong.
Oh, boy.
NBL starting their season the Thursday before the AFL Grand Final.
I'm buying. I'll go first because the Thursday night game, the opening game, is in Melbourne. So it's Grand Final week in Melbourne. I think it's going to be the rivalry between South East Melbourne and Melbourne United, I'm pretty sure.
They've got a game Thursday, Friday. They've got two Saturday on Grand Final and one Sunday.
You need to remember Joey's on the book
with
the NBL.
NRL Grand Final.
Yes, and I think the NBL game is in Sydney. It's a Sydney game. So I think they've done it okay. I'm going to buy it. I think it'll work Grand Final week in Melbourne.
Couldn't care less, no.
I'll buy Stevie's comment.
All right. Liberal leader, John Pesutto, see out his term.
That's a firm hold for me. Obviously, what he's brought in and the positions he's taking on a few things are getting a few people up in arms, and some of the motions he wants to carry aren't quite there from a Liberal and then Labor point of view, but it's a firm hold.
Just buy, hold, or sell.
Hold.
I hold, I don't get caught up in politics.
Did I sound somewhat smart?
That was very good, yes.
No Isaac, idea what I just said.
Isaac Heaney
that's good.
Is a top 50 player.
Hold. Well,
no, I'm selling on that.
I don't think
he lives up to the hype often enough. He doesn't perform often enough for me to be a top 50 player.
May I have the question again?
Isaac Heaney is a top 50 player.
Has the potential, but he doesn't deliver enough.
Performance-wise. Hold.
I'm a hold because he is still capable.
He's capable.
And yes, you're right, he's underperforming, but he's got a level he can still go to.
Yeah, if he played at his best with what he could be a top 25
player. He had a bloody good season last year as well.
Zach Butters will win a Brownlow.
Hold. Again, he would need to obviously continue to improve, which he's doing, but it's certainly closer to a buy than a sell. But I'll hold on that one right now.
I'll buy on that. Yep, I'll buy. He'll win one. I'll take the money.
I'll sell. I don't think he will. I love the way he goes about his footy, but he's going to be a player that's going to be knocked around. He'll have injuries, and there's plenty of young talent coming through that are going to win Brownlow medals.
You're going into a player grand final, AFL grand final for Collingwood, and you have got one pick, and you can only take one pick. Are you going with Jordan Degoe in your team or Nick Dacos?
I'd take Jordan Degoe. He's proven over time that he can be a real match winner on the big stage. His numbers throughout Collingwood's successful 2018 campaign. Obviously, Nick Dacos has done nothing wrong, but I think in terms of someone who can go forward if your forward line isn't completely functioning and be bare in the square, kick your four or five goals, I'm going to take Jordy Degoe.
I'm taking Degoe as well. On grand final day, you want a player that can win the ball out of the contest but equally push forward and hit the scoreboard like he does in the big moments.
It's a great question, Brownie. I like it. I'm going Jordan Degoe as well. I think he's almost been just as impactful. We know he's delivered on the big stage and he's now a consistent performer. I would go Degoe.
Two to go. Donald Trump will be president again.
You know what? I'll hold. And again, holding closer to buying. I'm not really sure what happens over in America in terms of their thought process, but they seem to have a real like and love for the big Donald and everything he does. Incredible considering he's been put through the ringer. They've tried to arrest him a couple of times for some of the things he did throughout the election. Some of his views he's had in and around women's rights have been way left field, but for whatever reason, you could see them doing it. So it's a hold, but thinking closer to a buy.
I'll buy it. Yep. I think he'll get majority votes if he puts himself back in that position.
Yeah, I'm not sure what goes through Americans' minds. I don't know. I'm going to hold because I wouldn't be shocked if he is, but be staggering if he is.
The land of the free. Now, this is the last one. Mm. Joey's workload requires a holiday.
That's a big bite. That is a genuine big bite.
Thank you.
Although we take the piss out of the great man, there's no one who's watching games of football and taking more notes outside of myself than Joey. He's got to think, call the game, write down notes in preparation for first crack. He's got to then the next day think about last crack. There's cracks everywhere, and the cracks are appearing in his mental and physical state. He needs a rest.
I'm buying Daisy's comment.
Thank you, Stevie. I'm buying a little weekend down at Dalesford. It'll do me the world.
Ooh, nice work. That has been the
Well done, mate.
Well done, Brownie. For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks.